Dr. Bob, starting out with the stock market dip yesterday, went down over 400 points after President Trump announced tariffs on steel and aluminum. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the thing with President Trump that people still haven't quite picked up on is that he does what he thinks is right and does what he promised during the campaign. And that's part of his package. The idea is, of course, to create jobs for the industry in those areas in this country. And I think to offset what I think a lot of people think are unfair advantages that some of these other countries have in terms of workforce and that sort of thing.
Because it's a smart move to win people over on the other side, no doubt about it.
I think, again, you're looking at this the wrong way, Brian.
Tell me my error.
Your error is you think he's playing this consciously in terms of the political impact. I think the man is playing it what he thinks is the right thing to do. And how that falls out may fall out very negatively for him, for him personally. On the other hand, I think his view is if it's the right thing to do and the right way to go, he's going to do it.
On the gun issue, Dr.
Yes.
Bob, this past week, Trump met with a lot of big officials.
Right.
And they talked about the NRA and the gun issues and whatnot. At one point in the meeting, Trump said he does not want mentally ill people to be having guns.
Right.
And Senator Chuck Grassley chimed in that many people with mental illness are not a danger and should not be subject to any policy that restricts their rights. It seemed like Vice President Pence was kind of on the same page as Grassley there, but Trump says take the guns first, go through due process second. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Trump has a point. I think one of the key elements here in terms of a lot of these shootings and such has been that the people that are doing it are really off beam mentally. And, of course, in the last one, there were all kinds of indications that this guy was a danger. And I think in a number of these other shootings, it's pretty clear that there were mental problems involved. Some of the other cases, I mean, like the pressure cooker and the Boston Marathon, those guys were just basically terrorists. I don't think there's any mental instability there, except that if you got somebody who wants to go out and massacre masses of people, I think you wonder about their stability in any case. But some of these people are clearly... So Grassley, and I don't know what Pence wants to say there, but the idea that somehow, I think Trump has a very good point, that to toughen up the background vetting here for obtaining firearms. And I think, you know, his proposal that you can't buy, shouldn't be able to buy assault rifles unless you're at least 21 years of age. I don't see any problem with that at all. This whole idea of allowing guns in schools. Now, again, that got a lot of emotion and hyperbole. And, you know, if teachers don't want to carry, that's their business. But I think somebody in any school district or any school building has to have access to weaponry. And Trump's point is... you know, they have to go through training, they have to be stable, et cetera. I was listening to one of the congressmen from Texas the other night, and he was pointing out in some of these rural areas in Texas, you know, there's no, by the time the cops get there, it's 15, 20, 30 minutes. So the idea of having somebody in the school that can, in fact, offset some crazy case with a assault rifle or worse or other, you got to have that. I mean, you got to protect these kids. That's the bottom line.
Trump slamming the NRA during his big meeting with members of the House and Senate.
Right.
Is that smart for the president with his base?
That's my point, Brian. He does,
and with the NRA supporters in Congress.
He does what he thinks he has to do. And if the NRA doesn't like it, then they can spend their time trying to change the composition of Congress and the Senate, whatever. And I don't think they're going to be spending much time doing that. I think basically...
You think they'll put up with Trump doing that?
Yeah, yeah. I think they got to be pretty satisfied with what they've got in the House.
A quickie question for you, Doc.
Make it quick, please.
Congressman Tom Reed.
Yes, I know the man.
He recently posted a Facebook posting about the nasty things that are sent to him from those he described as extreme Ithaca liberals.
Yes.
And there was a lot of swear words and a lot of anger and so on and so forth in these messages that he reposted. And, of course, he deleted out. You could tell what word was said, but he deleted out.
Sure, he's trying to keep the conversation at a high level.
Yeah, yes. Well, underneath it, there was a lot of comments. Now, most of them that I saw were supportive. Most of the comments there were, hey, you know, keep up the good work, Tom. Ignore the people over there who are swearing and yelling at you. But some of the comments were very critical, and they accused Reed of trying to milk sympathy off a non-issue and so on and so forth. What do you make of this new phenomenon? It used to be... Everyone has a show.
Right.
Everybody, you know, everybody has a forum to speak like this. I mean, right. I think it's a great thing in some ways, but is there a downside to it?
There certainly is, and you certainly pointed it out. I mean, you don't have to give your name. You can put all kinds of really scurrilous things on Facebook and all these other things. There's some fairly unstable people out there, and... any public official, he's not the only one, I'm sure, by a long way that attracts these kind of nutcases. I do know, my understanding is the Democrats are doing everything they can in our district to try to narrow down the number of people running in the Democrat primary. And I don't know how that'll work out, but it really bothers them. What are there, 8 or 9 now? Running?
I think they're down to 6 or 7.
Oh, well, they're having some success there. But, of course, that's going to be a lot of money spent, etc. And the more people you have in that kind of situation, the more likely one of the real idiots is going to end up with 15% of the vote or whatever and end up winning the nomination. So I'm sure the Reed people are sitting back twiddling their thumbs, kind of watching all this play itself out.
Dr. Bob, so much going on in the news. One of the stories that came out this week was a story about tipped workers in New York State.
You got me there.
I just wanted to get your thoughts. This organization sent out an email saying that Governor Andrew Cuomo, one of the reasons he wants to get rid of tipped workers is because the governor believed a study that said tipped workers suffered from sexual harassment, that giving tips to waiters, waitresses, it led to sexual harassment. Organization says that's ridiculous, that the tipped workers are losing important wages that are coming into them from the tips.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that you probably will see the governor go head-to-head with Senator Kathy Young, the Senate Finance Committee Chair.
I have no idea on that, but I can see the reasoning there that somehow some of these guys get their paws all over the waitresses, et cetera, maybe, and the waitresses get bigger tips. I'm not sure. The waitresses, and male and female, do often very well from the tips. You can make a pretty good living, actually, in the right kind of restaurant or bar in this respect. So I can see where they'd be pretty unhappy with having that taken away from them. Governor Cuomo... attempting to help out the working class is just simply putting the screws to them one more time.
Another big story that popped up this week, and you know, may not be big to everyone, but Bill Nojay was the assemblyman from around here. State Senator Pat Gallivan and Assemblyman David DiPietro got a bill passed in the state legislature. It was sent to Governor Cuomo's office. Has not been signed yet. but a few other things have not either. Anyway, it would give about $30,000 to Assemblyman Nojay's widow. That was money that DiPietro and Gallivan believed was owed to Nojay for his assembly work, and you know, just because of the nature of Nojay's death, you know, distraction, whatever, he never got paid for that. His family never got paid that money, and Gallivan and DiPietro wanted that money to go to Nojay's widow. There were some no votes on that. Most of them from New York City. Excused from the vote was a Nojay ally, Niagara Falls Republican State Senator Robert Ort. Do you have any thoughts on why Ort would have excused himself?
None whatsoever, unless he feels there's some sort of conflict of interest there. I'm not quite certain how that plays, but I really, my heart goes out to Debbie, his wife, or his widow. She's a very decent person, and I'm sure this has been unbelievably traumatic for her. So giving her the extra due that Nojay would have gotten, I think, is a pretty minimal way of helping out. And so I think it's pretty decent of Gallivan and DiPietro to do that.
The name Joe Prococo.
Yes. Well,
It was a longtime aide to Governor Andrew Cuomo, and he's accused of corruption and taking bribes in state government, but it's not tied directly to Governor Andrew Cuomo. Your thoughts on the latest there?
Well, I think there's a good chance he's going to get off. I think we look at the defense team, and I assume these guys are pretty capable attorneys, and you can bet on that. They clearly mounted no strong defense, so as our audience may know, the prosecution lays out the case. They have to prove the case on each item in the charge beyond a reasonable doubt. So there are, in any of these charges, and I haven't read, I think he still has about 10 charges still hanging there. The judge dismissed one. But there are things like with intent, did intent, with intent, et cetera, consciously defraud. So each one of those points has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. And what the defense has done essentially is said, I think they called two or three witnesses kind of a desultory fashion, but never really mounted a strong defense, because I think their point is the prosecution clearly, excuse me, has not proven their case beyond a reasonable doubt. And one of the problems, pardon me, for the prosecution is one of their key witnesses ended up in Rikers because he perjured himself in his testimony before in the trial that he had lied in some other area. So I think basically for Coco, the chances of him walking are pretty good right now. And that, of course, would be a big relief to our chief executive.
Governor Andrew Cuomo.
That's who I'm talking about, yes.
What do you make of Governor Andrew Cuomo commending and complimenting Dick's Sporting Goods for no longer selling guns to anyone who's under 21 and so on and so forth? And then you see him saying if Delta wants to come here and leave Georgia, Delta Airlines,
yeah,
because some of the government officials there are putting pressure on Delta because they're anti-NRA.
Well, I don't know. Delta is a business trying to make a profit, and I'm sure they'd be eager to pay the high taxes that they'd have to pay in New York State, so Governor Cuomo can invite them all he wants. No, I think you're going to have a lot of businesses and they have every right to do that. Refuse to sell the guns to anyone under 21. I think Walmart is not going to sell guns or ammunition, period, anymore. I think that's what they did yesterday. They have a right to do that. That's fine. And again, on this whole school gun-free zones at schools and things of that sort, you're going to have a lot of different approaches around the country in different states. And I think that's one of the real strengths of our federal system. You can see how these things work. And ideas are going to come up here and there. And hopefully it'll make our schools a heck of a lot safer in the long run.
We've been talking with Dr. Bob. We're going to keep doing that right after we...
Keep doing this?
We're going to keep doing this, Doc. Stay with us. We've got to take a break.
Right, sure.
We're back with Dr. Bob.
Hi.
What did you think, by the way, of Assemblyman Giglio's idea of one entrance? It's the same entrance and exit, not a bunch of entrances, and also metal detectors when you're walking in and security that's armed within the school.
Rochester has had metal detectors for years, so that's not, all that unusual. Obviously, if you have a metal detector, you got to have somebody there monitoring the metal detector. So you take some personnel there. And obviously, I guess if you have a metal detector, you probably should have one way in and one way out. If you got several other doors you can slip in, a metal detector doesn't do much good. So I think Joe's idea has some merit. That's something, obviously, New York State could impose on all the schools. And in fact, trying to get in a school... Anyway, these days, it's not all that easy. You've got the doors are locked. You've got to buzz your way in, et cetera. So it wouldn't take that much more to add metal detectors. I think, for example, some people said that students should be denied their backpacks. I think that would be striking at the very heart of student life. But if you got metal detectors, then the backpacks can carry in pretty much whatever they want as long as they don't have any metal in there. So, these sorts of things can be tried here and there, and we'll see how they work out.
Republicans in Congress, President Trump butted heads with them on gun control and the NRA issue. What do you think of that?
Well, I think, once again, as we said at the start here, Trump is going to do what he thinks is right, and I don't think he's his whole approach is, for example, like the Kennedys. When the Kennedys came into office in McCulloch's biography of Truman, he was quoting Dean Acheson, who was working with the Kennedys there for a while. And Acheson said, you know, one of the things the Kennedys would always bring up is, how will this play with the public? How will this play with the public? And, of course, Harry Truman didn't think in those terms much. And I don't think Trump does either. He does what he thinks is right. And in this whole gun thing, he's making some proposals that, they're not outrageous by any means. And... the NRA, of course, is unhappy with some of them, but they all seem pretty reasonable to me. And so I guess it leaves it up to some of these members of the House and Senate if they want to go head-to-head with the NRA or whether they want to do what's right. And any organization, and the NRA is a tremendously powerful political organization, but... there's a point here which I think the public interest comes to the fore. So I got to give Trump credit, I think, there for doing what he thinks is right and let the chips fall where they may.
Dr. Bob, Condi Rice was on ABC's The View show yesterday morning and told the View ladies that Congressman Adam Schiff needs to wrap things up on the Russia probe because the country needs to get back to business.
Right. I mean, she has a very good point there. And, of course, I've always been very impressed by Condoleezza Rice. I do believe she has a Ph.D. in political science. A fine, fine, very bright lady. But I do think it's been going through my mind, too, that this whole Russia probe and all these attempts at scandal and such, it's to the Democrats' advantage to keep this stirred up as much as they can, not only because maybe they think there's something there, but it detracts from the facts of what Trump has accomplished. And the Trump administration has already accomplished a huge amount in a year's time in terms of what they set out to do in terms of the Middle East, in terms of quieting down North Korea, in terms of the economy, in terms of eliminating huge numbers of regulations, in terms of tax cuts. You just go down the line, and the Trump administration, in terms of appointments to the courts, the Trump administration has been very, very effective in doing what they said they would do. And I think the country generally supports those moves. So this whole idea of continuing playing up, as Condoleezza Rice is saying, it's time to move on. Let's get on to what we've actually been accomplishing, which is really quite a bit. So we'll just have to see. Now, what's interesting as well, last week, Obama says, during his administration, of course, no scandals, no big scandals occurred. Well, the point of that is the press covered for Obama again and again and again, and covered for Hillary Clinton again and again and again, just as they did for the Kennedys. I mean, the scandals and the way Kennedys interacted with people are really outrageous, and the same with the Clintons. You know, Camelot and this idea that somehow liberals can do no wrong, the press continually played it. It's amazing how the liberals continually playing this bit about the working class, etc., when all they're doing is oppressing huge sections of the working class and middle class people. But the press continues to cover, and so when Obama says there's no scandals there, I think there are plenty of questions during the Obama administration. But again, the press just kind of let it go. Now, the other side of that is, of course, the press is doing everything they can to make Trump look bad. Every little thing, the press is on it immediately. And they've been on this from the very start when he got elected. So you read these liberal journals and such, and the liberal essayists and commentators are saying, we have to resist. We can't allow this to happen. Now, is this a democratic society where you have a peaceful transition of power or not? Well, clearly, a lot of these people on the losing side don't want that to happen. And it's just, it's a very unfortunate thing. And it's amazing that Trump has done as well as he has, given this kind of attacks and opposition.
We've got to go, but I've got to thank you for stopping in.
Well, be careful out there, folks, and we'll try to give it another time.
All righty. Thanks, Doc.